children, sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the gospel of the Lord.
School, not having to do the school run, maybe. Very good, very good. A nice break. But at this time of year, lots of us are beginning to feel a little bit tired. Anybody here feeling tired? A few people this morning have already told me they're feeling tired. Have I got a volunteer? Have I got a strong volunteer? Come on, Dee Dee. So, first of all, what happens? Your teacher says, just put your hands like this. Just one more test. Just one more test, Dee Dee. You can manage that, can't you? And then you come home and your dad says, and I've seen this happen, "You've got to jump in the recycling bin and squash it all down. Help me with the recycling, Dee Dee. Come on." And then the alarm goes off and you've got to get up for school again. Are you doing all right? Are we holding it? And then you think you just about can't manage anymore. And then Rebecca comes knocking at your door and says, "Will you come out on your bike?" And you're like, "I'm tired. I just want to sleep. Life is too much." You doing all right? We've got any adults who are feeling strong this morning? You're not an adult. Come on, Liam. Oh, Victoria, come. So, oh, we've got Liam, have we? Oh, I feel I needed more weights. This is a little bit unfair. Don't worry, I've got a plan. So your boss says, "You've got to build a set for a school play. What's more, you've got to come in on Saturday and Sunday and do it." And then what happens is the vicar says, "Can you come and help look after my chickens?" And then you get to church and Fiona says, "Come on, Liam, you can do it. Can you build us a new... I don't know, something." And then to top it all off, you go home, your dishwasher is broken, and then you just think, "I'll sit down for a rest," and the phone goes and it's your best friend who's sick in hospital and you need to go and visit them. And at this point, you think you literally can't cope with anything else and your best friend has got really bad news and life is difficult and you go home and you haven't even got any food in the house. Are you okay for your tea? But what we're thinking about today, let's turn around here. Dee Dee, perhaps you can take a couple off him. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and pop it down at the cross. And I will take the worries and the stress." Do you want to pop them down? And that's what we're thinking about today. Thank you very much, guys. Can sit down.
There's a saying, "You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't." That's a scenario we've all experienced down the years. And it may be any number of things which leads to that feeling. Like all the stuff piling up and piling up, Maybe we've got decisions we've got to make in our working life. Maybe we've got family commitments. Maybe we've got all sorts of stuff that keeps on building and building and building. And eventually it feels like it's more than we can bear. Or maybe it's the end of the school year coming. Might be the prospect of the parent or the grandparent having to deal with a bored child on a wet day in the middle of the school holidays. The child looks at you and says, "Go on then, entertain me." Maybe not unlike the children hanging around in that marketplace in Jesus' parables in the reading this morning, the children refuse to join in with other people's games. And it doesn't matter what you do to try and appease them, it's never ever going to be right. And they will let you know that they're not happy. And in this morning's gospel, it's the contrast between John the Baptist and Jesus, which we're looking at. In the passage immediately before today's gospel, John the Baptist is in prison. And he sent his followers to find out whether his simple message of preaching repentance is going to be safe in Jesus' hands, whether that message of repentance is going to continue. John the Baptist, a fiery, passionate person, has been put out of the way under lock and key. He's in prison. He's out of sight. He's out of mind. And maybe the crowds who were once impressed by John's message are now dismissing him as a mood-hoovering whinger in the hope that Jesus might be a bit more entertaining. But in true damned if you do and damned if you don't style, the people are already gathering rocks to throw at Jesus, even if their reasons for criticizing him are opposed to the reasons for criticizing John the Baptist. Jesus said to the crowd, "John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" But who are the they who are doing the criticizing? Maybe we need to be a little bit more specific in identifying the people that Jesus means. In the earlier verses of chapter 11 of Matthew's gospel, Jesus has been referring to the listening crowd as you. And now the words change. The pronoun changes to they, which means that some or others in that listening crowd are the ones who are making the noise. It's specific people. Elsewhere in Matthew's gospel, it's the Pharisees who start grumbling about the guests who've been invited to a dinner party, and they start making accusations that people are possessed by demons. The crowds go from following to marveling at Jesus. They start wondering if this Jesus is the longed-for Messiah. And Jesus then goes on to thank God his Father because God has hidden things from the wise and intelligent, and God has revealed them to infants or children. Maybe it's the so-called wise and intelligent people who are the they in the passage that Jesus refers to. Perhaps those religious leaders who Jesus often rebukes for being self-important and hypocritical. The scribes and Pharisees, the ones who have all the knowledge and the power, they're able to hide behind the law. The scribes and Pharisees keep on criticizing Jesus with anything they can think of to throw at him, any word or phrase or question that could catch him out. Jesus is damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. And in the process of all the criticism, the scribes and Pharisees are blind to the good news of the kingdom which Jesus represents. They'd rather not hear the challenge to their superior religiosity. The scribes and Pharisees, the people in charge, are blinded to the basics of justice, mercy, faith, and communicating that faith. And so the message to communicate faith is left to the infants, the children, who are able to see in Jesus what the scribes and Pharisees can't see. These people are the new ones, the people who are poor in spirit, the people who are meek, merciful, persecuted, seeking, All these people who Jesus has called blessed in the Sermon on the Mount. These people are the ones who are sick and lame. They're demon-possessed. They're lepers. They're tax collectors. They're sinners. They're people like you and me who come to Jesus for healing. They're not the religious experts. They're not the old guard, well-versed in the letter of the law, who see themselves as being all-powerful, able to control others' lives in matters of religious observance or telling them how things should be. But instead, the people who know themselves to be as powerless as little children as they encounter God through a personal encounter with Jesus are the ones who become the most powerful, the ones who have a voice, the ones who dare to speak out. And so today's gospel reading ends with Jesus giving an invitation. Come to me. Come to me if you're weary. Come to me if you're carrying a heavy burden. Come to me if you're simply tired and fed up, and I'll give you rest. They're really familiar words. I think they're really comforting words. We can be weighed down by all sorts of heavy burdens. Things we see, things we can't see. Think of the Jews of Jesus' time. They were weighed down by political oppression under the Romans. But whatever else Jesus might have been referring to, he was also referring to the religious burdens imposed on ordinary people by the Pharisees and their interpretation of the law. Jesus speaks out specifically to those who are feeling burdened and weighed down. He speaks to us if we're burdened and feeling weighed down. Later on in that gospel, Jesus goes on to rebuke the scribes and the Pharisees. He talks about burdens again, because he says that the scribes and the Pharisees love to give people heavy burdens, too hard to bear. They lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. Jesus isn't saying that the law counts for nothing. Jesus is also not saying that the demands of life have to weigh us down. There is, after all, a yoke which Jesus refers to. And it's a yoke that gives life rather than a yoke that's burdensome. He's referring to the glory of the cross. Jesus is saying, come to me, lay your burdens down at that cross. Give your concerns, your troubles to me, and I will help you bear them. Because we know that life is not something that we should bear alone. Life is better when it's held in community. Life is much better when people are walking alongside each other and when people are prepared to bear one another's burdens. Life is much better if we can take those burdens that we even share together as a church and lay those burdens down at the foot of the cross, because that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do and invites us to do. Jesus is saying, come to me. If you're feeling superior, but come to me also. If you're feeling weighed down, if you're new in your faith, if you've been here for 1,000 years, come to me and I will receive you. But we often get weighed down in knots, tied up by all the burdens that we have to bear. Life becomes something of a juggling act. Think of the many people who have demands on our time, the sheer number of places we've got to be, all the stuff of every day that we've got to juggle. We get burdened and we get weighed down. In my years in pastoral ministry, I've come across many people who try so hard to be faithful Christians, but they tie themselves up in knots because they get weighed down by the burden of feeling that they're failing miserably in their service as Christians. Maybe there's people here this morning who would place themselves in that category as well. I can think of a person in my last parish. He's now died, so I can say it, but he was one of the most saintly people I knew. He was full of kindness, compassion, generous hospitality. He had a great concern for others. But he was always asking what more he could do because he felt that he was always falling short. And my answer to him was, stop trying so hard. If you think you can win your way into God's good books by bearing all these burdens, forget it, because we're all going to fail. We're all going to drop a heavy pile in the end. But we're all of us depending on God's goodness in offering us forgiveness exactly when we fail. That journey towards the cross isn't easy. But if we can begin to lay things down, we're beginning to set ourselves free. That doesn't mean it doesn't matter what we do and what we don't do. But it does matter that we learn to accept God's forgiveness when we fail, which we all will. Jesus, in offering us to bring our burdens to him, is not inviting us to then consider that life is going to be easy, because it won't be. Following Jesus is going to be full of risks and challenges, as he makes quite clear. Jesus calls us to live lives of humble service, to live lives that help set others free. But we're not living lives of slaves, because a life lived in Jesus is a life that's full of freedom and joy. Think of that yoke. Think of a person carrying two buckets. Across their shoulders is the yoke, and the buckets hang from the yoke. The shoulders make it easier for the buckets to be borne. But then think of Jesus carrying that yoke of our burdens through life. He can take it. He can take far more than we're prepared to give him, because he's gracious and he's forgiving. Jesus, under God's merciful reign, sets us free from the burden of sin. Jesus sets us free from the need to prove ourselves. Jesus sets us free to rest. Jesus sets us free to enjoy resting, to not feel guilty in resting, because we rest securely in God's grace. So follow that invitation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.